Okay, from Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. And we declare together that this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So I'm going to invite up, we're going to do things slightly differently this morning. Our teaching is going to be by means of a Q&A session. And I want you to give a wonderful Christchurch welcome back to Andy and Emma. Fantastic, thank you. Come and join me on the sofas. Thank you for sitting on the sofas rather than sliding over the back with your legs sticking in the air, like our kids enjoy doing a little bit later. Can everybody see us? That means no. But anyway, you'll be able to hear us. So do feel free to stand on the chairs if you really want to look. Probably if you want to look at us, you need to get out more. But let's just take it as we are. So let's move on now. For those who don't know, Andy and Emma moved to Bristol and joined the Christchurch family a couple of weeks before Jackie and I did in the summer of 2010. Andy arrived, they came to Bristol so that Andy could train for ordained ministry in the Church of England at Trinity College. And in due course, Andy became our curate. And weren't we blessed to have the Murray family staying with us longer than we'd originally thought? Yes. I know we call ourselves Anglican, but you can join in. And it was not quite 2 years into Andy's curacy. We were walking together up Park Street from an event in the cathedral, and Andy waited until I was totally out of breath, and then dropped the bombshell that he felt the Lord had told him and spoken to him and Emma about a calling on their life that was to take them beyond Christchurch. So, with that sort of introduction, Andy and Emma, just tell us a little bit more of background, anything you want to say about those early days and the Lord's call on your life.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Great to see you all. I have got some pictures to show you on screen, which hopefully are going to pop up in a moment, which will just give you a little bit of an insight into where we've gone. And then we've got some other interesting things to talk about with Paul as the time goes on this morning. So as Paul has said, we've moved down to Avonmouth and Lawrence Weston. And I've got a bit of a map, if you've got no idea where it is. And so down at the bottom, that tiny little parish is Clifton. And those two very large parishes that extend out into the sea. Those of you who know me will know that I love surfing, but there is no surf in Avonmouth, I can tell you. There's just mud. So we're not too far away from here. It's only about 3.5 miles or so. And we thought it'd probably be helpful just to explain the context. Now, has anyone been to the tip over in that direction? Yeah, okay, that's probably the only reason that would take you to drive through Lawrence Weston. But Lawrence Weston and Avonmouth are right on the edge of Bristol, and they're two fairly deprived areas of Bristol. I've got a picture of Avonmouth, and the yellow arrow is where St. Andrew's Church is. We're literally only about 150 yards from the docks, so you can see how close we are to all the industry that's there. Probably about two-thirds of the parishes are industry, and then the rest is residential. The top picture is St. Andrew's Avonmouth. The bottom one is St. Peter's Lawrence Weston. St. Peter's churches from the 1960s. It was built after the war to house all the people that were being moved into that part of Bristol, whereas Avonmouth is slightly older, but it suffered quite significantly in the Second World War and was bombed. Having had some beautiful renovation and extension work done, it was bombed and then rebuilt in a very cheap fashion after the war. Very quickly, just to give you a bit of a feel for the reality on the ground, these are just some figures of the community, really, and the sort of deprivation markers that the government would use to identify the community. Avonmouth's probably got about 3,000 people living in it currently, but there are a fair number of people living in poverty and out of work and in social housing. It would be described, if you like, in the top 11% of most deprived parishes in the country, whereas this is Lawrence Weston, which is very different. It's got about 7,500 people, and we've got probably 1,500 people more moving in the next 5 years as more housing is built. But we are a much more deprived community. There's, according to the latest figures, we're in the top 2.5% of most deprived communities in the whole country. So there are massive needs in the area. Have I got any more pictures? No. I think that's probably enough to say about that, isn't it?
No, I think so. And just for a bit of context, the ancient parish of Clifton was founded in 1169. And
we were fields at that point, I think.
Yeah. 11 parishes have been carved out of that ancient parish. Plus, the parish extends halfway across the gorge. And as you probably know, the Avon has the second biggest tidal bore in the world. You're welcome to surf it any time. Oh, dear, fantastic. One of the things that we're so keen about as a church is finding out how God can use us to bring kingdom influence to bear. And a few years ago, the Bishop of Bristol, who's now left, Bishop Mike, encouraged partnership within deaneries. Deaneries are units of Church of England. So we already have a link, obviously, personally with Andy and Emma and their family. But we also have a deanery link with these parishes. And so one of the things that we're eager for is to find opportunities where we can learn both ways, and people from Christchurch can offer what we might be able to bring into some and support. And we'll be hearing a little bit more about that, how that's already happening later. Emma, I just want to come back to you now for because we have a basket just inside the front doors. Tell us why we have that, because you really are the originator under God of that.
Yes, so you've been talking a bit about planting in your church, and I was thinking about that in the context we're in. And it's been quite an interesting journey for us. It began back in 2010 when we moved here, and God spoke to me about setting up Bristol Northwest Food Bank, and it initially started in Lawrence Weston and Avonmouth. And I really feel that God sent me sort of ahead of us going there as church leaders to really start to till the ground there and to break up rock hard ground, because I really felt that it's not really a place where you can sow seeds very easily, because it was very hard. And these communities, they do not trust newcomers. It takes a long time for people to trust you. So I think it really started by God just really breaking my heart, Paul, for the people that live there. And the tilling of the ground has just been the pouring out of love, just again and again and again, and the faithfulness of being there week after week, even when at times it has been unbearably difficult. So 6.5 years on, the food bank is now really well respected, and it's providing a bridge for us into the community, for our churches. And I just want to thank you as well for your support of, you know, regularly giving food to us. That's just helping us continue the work.
Just give us an idea of the sort of numbers of people who are needing the ministry of the food bank in any given week or month, whatever your statistics are.
I'm not sure about it monthly, but last year it was nearly 5,000 people. So probably looking at something like that again. So we had 1,000 people in December last year, so we're bracing ourselves for that.
That's quite an extraordinary thing just to think about, isn't it? I know not everybody who attends Christchurch lives in Clifton, but we're set in this extraordinary place, and yet just less than 3 miles away, that level of need. And just can I encourage you again, particularly if you've not already done so, when you're doing your weekly shop or whenever you do your shop, could you actually think about some extras you could buy, stick in a separate bag, and when you're next in church, put them in the food bank, because you can hear what the need is, and that's a practical way of helping.
Yeah, and just to say, you know, since I initially worked to start up those two outlets, we do now have one in Hot Wells at Hope Chapel and in Hembury, and you're not immune around here from people needing help from the food bank. That's just as, you know, busy, has different sorts of people going there, but, you know, that's just down the road from you, so the food you give will go there as well.
So Emma used the word planting, and most of you will be aware over the last few weeks, we've been talking the language of growth. We've been recognizing from Scripture that God promises to grow if we faithfully plant and water. So we've been doing just a little as a church leadership, sort of reevaluating what our priorities are, just making sure that we don't think that we are responsible for growing people, not putting all the burden on you to grow yourselves, but we're talking about our responsibility as planting seeds, and then particularly in our small groups, if it's a Christchurch thing, watering those seeds and believing that God gives the growth. So the food bank is a very clear example of something that you've planted. You've talked about the way that the ploughing, if you like, the ploughing is a plough of love, is effectively what you're saying, that actually hard ground is broken by the plough of love. So there may be more examples of planting you want to give me, but feel free to talk about how you then water. So you begin to break up ground, you begin to, with the plough of love, earn trust with meeting physical needs. I'll always remember Spurgeon, that great Baptist teacher, who got rather cross with people who stood on street corners and handed out Christian literature to the poor. And he said, look, if you're going to give out a Christian tract, write it on the wrapping of a sandwich. So this isn't new stuff, folks. This is ancient wisdom. So the bit about breaking up, bit about planting, do you want to say more or do you want to move on to watering?
I'll just say one more thing. It was just a bit really about how we've seen going from just giving people food to people coming to faith. It's been really exciting. And I when I was thinking about this week, I just wanted to share an something that happened on Thursday. Sinead, who was a member of Christchurch and came with us to Avonmouth, she and I were at the food bank this week, and we were just talking to this lady, and then she just started saying, I've been exploring all different religions, and I'm just looking for God. I know he's real. I'm just looking for him. And she said, can I come to your church on Sunday? I want to find God. And, you know, I tried not to whoop. It was really exciting. But it's just as we've given food and love people, there's been these opportunities to start to share our faith. And we, Sinead was able to speak a blessing over her, and I was just able to pray over her in the name of Jesus. And I just can't wait to see what God's going to do. That's what really, really excites me. And I think that just started with us handing out a bag of food.
Yeah, I mean, and that's not to mention the others who have come to the food bank, really met with genuine love and compassion, and ended up coming to church as a result of that, either locally or with us. And we've had a couple of people come to faith as a result of that ministry as well, which has just been staggering for us to witness. And I think the key thing that has struck me again over this last week, and it's one of the reasons I wanted the Isaiah 61 passage, is that I don't know if any of you can remember that prayer Sunday that we had here 2.5 years ago. And one of the key words that was given to us was Isaiah 61, the first 2 or 3 verses. And we've lived that. We've felt God doing what he wanted to do in that. And I think that's the key thing I wanted to say, is that Isaiah 61 says very clearly that this is all through the Lord's anointing, that this is his planting, that it's his planting. We are planted by him for the display of his splendor. It's all about him, ultimately. And so we are stepping into the purposes of God, inevitably, when we're binding up the brokenhearted, when we're coming in an opposite spirit to what people have encountered and lived for so long, when we come and bind up the brokenhearted, when we tend and comfort those who are sick and mourning, we step into the purposes of God, and it almost releases us from the responsibility to feel like we've got to fix it. Because we, as you've seen very briefly from the statistics on the screen, we live in the middle of Lawrence Weston. On our doorstep are those very real needs. And we could be overwhelmed by that at times. And we are overwhelmed by that at times. And it feels like a burden at times. But then God reminds us again to bow the knee, to let him do what he wants to do, and to try to stay in step with his purposes. I think if we looked at all of the need and tried to solve them all, we'd just collapse in a heap pretty quickly.
And just before we move on, if you're part of Christchurch family, you will have heard us say over and over again that actually what we do in here is firstly for him, but it's actually then primarily for the world outside. That we're not interested in gathering all your energies in order to perpetuate church activity. We're actually passionate about gathering in order to release energy, inspire, equip, and empower. Because although not everybody sitting here listening to this morning is going to be called by the Lord to join the work in Avonmouth and Lawrence Weston, every single one of us is planted somewhere this week. Every single one of you is planted somewhere, and you've not been planted by mistake. The Lord has planted you, and the Lord has given you that gospel plow of love, however dimly you may feel it. And part of what we want to do this morning is just to remind ourselves again that what we do in church is in order to enable what we do out of church, because that's where we spend the majority of our lives. That's where the lost are. That's where the need is. And as we go on, just be thinking about the place you are planted. It'll be a very different place to what you're hearing this morning. That doesn't matter. The principles are the same. That you're planted, you have seed, you have the means to break up hard ground, and the Lord has put you there for his kingdom purposes. So just talk a little bit about how, as church leaders in these two quite distinct but similar in many ways communities, how you water the seeds that God has given you. Somebody's getting excited for this answer over there. That's great.
And well, some of it is having to provide structures in an environment where that can happen. And we were just thinking about this a bit, weren't we? And there's sort of five areas that we focused on. So we've started trying to build team and develop leaders, because that's not really been done in these churches before. Obviously, teaching and discipleship. We found that there's been people sitting in the church for years who've never really been introduced to the person of Jesus. So, you know, just starting to speak the truth. And modelling mission and social justice work. So we've been, I set up the clean team, and there's been some people going into people's homes. We've been doing the food bank cookery course out of the church in Lawrence Weston, and obviously the food bank, but really helping the church to start to think that its function is for the people out there. And we've recreated our worship services. We've done quite a lot, really, haven't we? We've had to totally change that and start to teach people that it's not about having a song that just matches the talk, but it's about coming to worship Jesus. And also developing the buildings on site. I think I'll let Andy talk to you about that, but we've done an awful lot of work about changing our space.
Yes, that's right. So the two churches do have a very different character. I think it'd be fair to say that is true. And Avonmouth, when we arrived, was in a pretty desperate state. There are about 15 or 16 people, most of them over the age of 70. There were two children in the midst who had kind of hung on in there and committed to being part of the church family. Lawrence Weston would consider itself probably have been a much more successful church, but it was still very small in terms of numbers. There was about 24 people on a Sunday morning. The problem with in Avonmouth was that the building was so bad, and is still pretty bad, was leaking and was suffering from rising damp, there were all manner of issues with the building. So the question that the PCC knew they had to face when I arrived was, is the Lord calling us to work towards closure and for us to sell off the land and move all of our worship into the centre in Lawrence Weston? Or is God going to move in a profound way and transform this church? And are we willing to make significant changes for the sake of building God's kingdom in Avonmouth? And the PCC at Avonmouth were ready and knew that that was the question that was before them. And they were ready to say, yes, actually, we are willing to make the changes necessary to reach children and families and young people and our community for the sake of God's kingdom, which is phenomenal, is absolutely phenomenal. So by the Christmas, having arrived in July, by the Christmas time, we'd agreed a new plan for the renovation of the buildings and had agreed to relaunch our Sunday morning service with a much more informal, family-focused feel from January. And we did it. And since that point, it's been difficult. It's been hard for many of the older members of the church to get through it because it is so different. But those people that have made that decision and shown that willingness have been vindicated in the sense of God has sown so many new lives into the midst of the church. And that we're seeing now a church that is, I'm going on to growth, sorry, Paul. I'm getting carried away. It's so exciting. It is so amazing to see what God has done in our midst. And so the church has grown as a result of those simple changes. And part of the plan is the building. I've got some pictures, actually. Shall I show you some pictures? There we go. Right. Okay, so that is the outside. That's part of our proposal for the outside. So we're getting a new entrance foyer because the current entrance you can't see from the road, which is always a bit of an issue when you've got people trying to find the church. So we went through a whole consultation and planning process. We have got our faculty from the Bristol Diocese, essentially planning permission from the Church of England to do the work. And work started on the building on the 25th of September. So we've started clearing the inside space of the building and managed to get some money to renovate the food bank store, which is the picture at the top. There's a picture of a font there because it's a long story, but the diocese wouldn't let us get rid of the font, and so we had to relocate it. And relocating a font is a challenging thing, so that's done. That has been moved, which is progress. In terms of the outside works, we are essentially replacing all of the roof materials so that we can get the building dry, because it's not dry yet. Once the building is done on the outside and the entrance is built, then we're aiming to start phase two in January, well, to go to tender in January, with a view for it starting before the summer. It's phenomenal, really, to think that we've gone from nothing to this point in 2 years. One of the miracles, really, with St Andrews is that it was given £500,000 15 years ago by a local trust fund in Avonmouth. It's a historic trust fund linked with the sort of merchant navy and merchant folk in the area, and some of our church members were trustees or involved in that trust for many, many years. And the lady who gave the money essentially said, look, at my death, I want the money to go to St Andrews to enable St Andrews to continue in this community. It's absolutely phenomenal. And so that money has enabled us to make a very quick progress towards renovating our church building in a way that we couldn't possibly do trying to raise the money ourselves.
So I'm just going to ask each of you to choose, this is going to be almost impossible, but choose one story, one human story of growth, just to illustrate what you're seeing, having planted, having watered. Just give us maybe a story each, briefly, because we'll need to then move on.
I'll tell you about a guy called Nick. He wouldn't mind me using his name publicly. He's told his story publicly, so it's okay for me to share it. In the summer before whilst we were just getting ready to move to Avonmouth, Bishop Mike's assistant had a phone call from this guy Nick, and he phoned the office absolutely desperate, at the end of his tether, not knowing what to do with his life, not part of the church. He's got a criminal background. He's had a really rich and varied life in different parts of the country. He was desperate. And so what did he do? He phoned the bishop. Can you believe it? And he said to the lady, I live in Avonmouth. The church is closed down and I need help. And it just so happened that the person on the end of the phone was a lady called Heather, who used to come here. And she had the knowledge that we were just about to move there. So she was able to say to Nick, well, it just so happens the church hasn't closed and a friend of mine is going to be the new vicar. He would love to talk to you. And so Heather phoned me up, and before Heather had phoned me up, Nick turned up at the food bank on that Monday, poured out his life story to Emma. Emma got to pray with him, and he's been coming to St. Andrew's Church since that moment. He's come to Alpha, and he's moved so much closer to God. There's more to go, but we've helped support him and his family through some tragedy and real difficulties, and yet God is on his case. And he would say that he's met God in a powerful way through that simple phone call and through God lining up the pieces. It's just phenomenal.
It's a group of people, really. When we went to Avonmouth, we sort of thought it would be mainly people from sort of benefit, sort of quite working class backgrounds coming to our church. But we've just been really surprised by how God has sent us so many asylum seekers. Our church is really multicultural. It's very small, but we've got families from China and Somalia. We've had people from Portugal. We've had people from Russia. And we're having people passing through as they're asylum seeking, which we didn't know was going to happen. And I just think that's been it's been challenging, but it's just really exciting to see how God has used us. And it's a very loving congregation, and how they have just really loved people. So we've got a couple of ladies who have come from Africa with their babies and their asylum seeking, and they came to the food bank and they're now regularly part of our church, and it's just a delight.
Thank you so much. We could talk a lot longer, and in actual fact, that's what we're going to do at the 5. So if you'd like to hear more, obviously you can talk to them at the end, but you might want to listen to the podcast from tonight as well. It's just such a pleasure to have you guys back. Even if you weren't talking about this amazing stuff, it'd be great to have you back, and Tom and Hannah and Elise as well. You guys must be so proud of your parents. And yeah, I know you've got a nod, but I know you are, really. And this just illustrates, in a sense, what we want to be about as a church. We want to be a church that has influence for good and for the kingdom. And this puts a human face when we talk about our giving needs as a church, because we're a well-resourced church, and so we consciously give over and above what it costs us to run this church back. We don't have a direct link as such, it's not as simplistic as that, but the sort of ministry that they've been talking about is made possible by the fact that churches like ours are able to give more than others can. And when Andy and I began to talk about, and it became clear that they were going to move to be leaders in Avonmouth and Lawrence Weston, we knew that we wouldn't do another church plant. It wasn't that sort of thing, as it was with St. Bart's. But what we both had the sense was that God would between us build a bridge that would work both ways, and over which people from Christchurch, but both ways as well, would travel to give individual support and gradually do that. And that's happened in a wonderful way. And what we're going to do now is just to gather Andy and Emma, the kids, if you want to come as well. It'd be great to have you in the middle of the church. That's our custom if you're new. We're going to stand together as a family. And I'm going to invite a number of people to come out. I'm just going to speak their names, because some of them are going to be here this morning. Some of them are going to be here at the 5. So Ginny O'Connor, who has been helping set up toddlers, so she's going to come out. Mel Griffiths, I don't see here, but she is a licensed lay minister. She's been helping lead services. Rob and Lucy Godfrey, Robin Thomas, Richard Bebb, I know, is ill, so he's not here. But they've helped on occasion lead sung worship. And then David Troughton is here, member of our PCC, who's been helping with some of the grant applications. I love that, because sometimes, you know, we can listen, and some of us will feel, I don't know whether I'd be good at mums and toddlers. I don't know whether I'd be good at going and cleaning some of these places. That's just not me. What about if you could give an hour a month or whatever, because you're literate and articulate and educated, and you could help a family go to benefits office, understand the forms that maybe they don't, but maybe fill out forms that would baffle them, maybe not allow the benefits office just to send them away. Am I allowed to say that? Well, I've said it now anyway. But if you could just go and support, if you have those sort of skills, all sorts of things can be used. And the final thing I want to say is this Thursday, the 9th of November, here at 7:30, we've got this evening we're calling Heart for the City. You may already be involved in city affairs. You may work for the city or work for health, education, business, politics, media, whatever it is. You may simply be new to Bristol, have a heart to get involved in the city. That's our heart as a church. Come along at 7:30 to share stories, to be encouraged, to be prayed for, and to learn more. As we move on in seeking influence in our communities and our cities, we are going to be making a special focus of Avonmouth and Lawrence Weston, because we've got the personal link. And so that's where we're going to be directing much of our energies. But if you're involved in anything in the life of the city, or you'd want to be, come along on Thursday. So let's stand and move out into the middle. Let's get those people I mentioned coming out and joining Andy and Emma and Tom and Hannah. And just the two of them. Let's bring, Jackie, will you bring the other radio mic? And so let's gather you together. Those who maybe were particularly close to Andy and Emma when they were here, you might like to gather particularly closely. If you feel the Lord has given you a prophetic word for their ministry, please do grab the microphone. If you feel the Lord gives you a prayer to speak over them, we'd love you to do that. Jackie and I will run to whoever's got a hand up. If you want to, just come forward if you've got a prayer. Rennie's been involved in the food bank as well. I didn't mention you. My apologies. Andy prayed for you. Fantastic. So I'm sure he'll do that again now. So let's reach out our hands. If you want to take the microphone to speak a prayer of blessing, please do approach Jackie or me.
Father, I just want to thank you for Andy and Emma and their faithfulness to you, for their example to us. Father, thank you that they don't just speak words, but they do action. And that's just so clear in the way that they've approached their work in these areas. And Lord, I just want to thank you for that and for the inspiration they are to so many of us. So I pray your protection over them and their family and your blessing on them. Amen.
Yes, Lord, I just thank you for Andy and Emma and their children. Thank you that you've equipped them to do the work that they're doing in Avonmouth and Lawrence Weston. Continue to equip them, Lord, and to be a shining light in their community. We just thank you for their energy and their wisdom and their love for you. And I pray that continues and that more and more people will come to their church and find out much more about you. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Father, I want to thank you that Andy and Emma are a couple who really walk closely with you. Lord, they're a couple who seek you, who listen for your voice, and then they're obedient and step in the way you're asking of them. And so, Father, I thank you for their listening ears, and I pray that you will continue to speak so loudly and clearly as they move forward and as they see growth in this community. But Father, thank you that they are people who listen to you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
And Father, we thank you for the team that you're building in that place. Father, thank you for the people that you're drawing around them. Father, we pray that you would continue to connect them together. And Father, we pray that you'd increase that team. Father, we pray for the leaders that they are investing in. Father, we pray that you'd give them wisdom and understanding. Father, we pray that you would cause them to increase their heart for that community. Father, we pray for local people who you are calling into that place. Father, would you raise them up as leaders to draw others into what it is you're doing in that place. Father, we thank you for them and we pray your blessing upon them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just got this picture of a mushroom, and please test this, but it feels like Father God's saying, I'm going to grow these churches, like it's going to mushroom bigger and bigger, and there'll be seeds flying all over the place, and a canopy of protection. I think that's it.
Thank you. Ginny and David, can I just ask you each to put just a hand on forehead? Ginny, put your hand on Emma's forehead, would you, just for a minute? And I just want to pray in that reading, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. Those words were first spoken 800 years before Jesus. He then spoke them, declared them to be true of himself. And the promise of the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord being upon his people is fulfilled. And as followers of Jesus, and in particular Andy and Emma, just pray right now that you will know the weight, the presence of the anointing of the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord right now, in Jesus' name. Just continue to receive that as I say one final thing. We've heard this morning just a wonderful demonstration of the way that Scripture is to be lived and walked out, not just held in our minds. As Andy said earlier, when we bind up the brokenhearted, when we set captives free, when we minister to the poor, we're walking in the purposes of the Sovereign God who pours out his Spirit upon his people for this. Nearly everybody knows that when Jesus quoted those words, he omitted one phrase. He proclaimed the time. In Isaiah, it says, the year of vengeance of our God. Jesus doesn't say that. Jesus simply says, this is the day of the year of the favor of the Lord. Let's remember that. We are here as people proclaiming, living out, making real the Lord's favor upon the face of the earth. I'd chosen, before even Andy gave me the reading, just remembering that prayer meeting 2.5 years ago, a prayer from a guy called Michael Perry. He took Isaiah 61 and made this prayer. It's going to be up on the screens now. I'm going to invite us all to speak it. We're going to speak it for Andy and Emma and the areas of Avonmouth and Lawrence Weston. But we're actually going to speak it. If we are followers of Jesus Christ, these words are true of us because we are in Christ. The Spirit of Christ is in us, making us temples to the living God, temples of the Holy Spirit. And so these words are true of us. And so we say them together. Sovereign Lord, you have anointed us with your Spirit and have sent us to preach good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to announce freedom to the captives and release for the prisoners of darkness, to proclaim your grace and your judgment, to provide for those who mourn. Bless all to whom we go. Bring your beauty into their lives. Joy instead of mourning. Praise instead of despair. Through us, make them like trees you have planted, rooted in righteousness, that they may display your splendor. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Let me invite the musicians and singers to take their places as we give Andy and Emma a round of applause to express our gratitude for them and to them.